gonna be a blitzball when I grow up. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, guys? Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 89, brought to you by RayRay.net. My name is Ray Ray. You guys know what this podcast is usually all about. NBA talk, but we also dabble on other sports, whatever other topic that I like, such as anime and video games and dating and other social issues. In this episode, we're getting into gaming. I talked to Game Talk Live's host, Mandy Roman. She's actually an old friend. We've known each other from way back, although, honestly, we don't talk as much as we should. But, yeah, I've known her for a long, long time. We're going to talk about gaming in general and some esports. The rise of esports is really been kind of a cool thing to see. We're also going to talk about, like, how she got into video games and, you know, just some good old BS session about video games. You know how much I love that stuff. But before we get to that talk, let me remind you, you can find archives of this show on RayRay.net. You can find this show on Stitcher, on other podcast apps that you use. iTunes is still broken for whatever reason. I've been emailing them for like weeks now, and they never really gave me an answer. But yeah, it's not like my podcast is hard to find. So, you know, if you know the internet, you'll be fine. You'll find it. So yeah, in the meantime, it's all about video gaming. It's all about esports. It's all about Mandy Roman. Here we go.
This is Shay Serrano, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast. I think Ray Ray should change the name of the podcast, but he likes it, so that's what you're listening to.
Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 89, recorded May 25th, 2018. My guest, the host and producer of the gaming show Game Talk Live on Facebook, where you talk about the hottest topics of video games and esports, Mandy Roman, a.k.a. Geeky Glamorous. What is up?
Hello, Ray Ray. How are you? Long time.
This is the weirdest thing, because I think the last time, or maybe the only time we saw each other, was karaoke in 2003, I think.
Or at, yeah, some convention around that time period.
Yeah. 15 years ago. Isn't that trippy?
Please don't age us.
I've already aged myself plenty in this podcast. Like, everybody knows I'm 39 years old. So, but yeah, it's really weird that, I mean, I called you a friend forever, but really this is our first conversation in so long.
It's just one of those things where social media kind of came in and took over, and it feels like we're hanging out with people and that we're converting people, even though we don't actually interact in real life very often.
Yeah. And it's like, I'll go on your Facebook and I'll comment like, hey, let's go game sometime. And you're like, yeah. And then it never happens.
Oh no, now you're making me out to be
no. I don't mean that in a bad way, but like, that's just how it is, because social media has basically isolated us in that way, and you know, it makes it harder for us to hang out in real life, because there's just so many things going on either in social media, in our own life, and even though we're pretty close in that vicinity, it just never happens. Just how it is nowadays, right?
It's both isolated, but yet also opened it up to so many just relationships and other, you know, things to see, you know, to catch up with people too. It's really interesting. It can go either way, I think.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so people know I used to be in the convention circuit, right?
Right, which is where we met.
Yeah, but now I basically work in sports, so it's kind of like this weird thing now, even though I kept in touch with a lot of the gamers and cosplayers and all that stuff, but, you know, like, it's just how it is, like, social media has just, like, opened up a lot of branches and avenues for any of us that work in this sort of thing, in the creative world, basically.
Sure, agreed.
Yeah, so I want to ask you, how did Game Talk Live come about? Because I know it kind of started, like, around, what, this year? Late last year, probably, and...
Yeah, it's been a year and 3 months now since I've been with Game Talk Live. At the time, I was working for Loot Crate, so kind of my prior life before this was the products. And I was doing a lot of stuff in licensing and brand deals and, you know, working on bespoke product, you know, for certain brands and IPs. It was really exciting. I, you know, a very unique position in that I got to work with a lot of different game developers and brands and licenses and then, you know, put them all in a box and then ship it to a bunch of people every month. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, but I was looking for a change. I was on the road a lot. I was just kind of worn out a little bit and just looking for something fresh and new, and an audition for this brand new video game show came about, and it was, they were looking specifically for gamers that could also host and be a personality. Mm-hmm. So it was like gaming was the first priority, and then like the hosting and the kind of personality piece was obviously very integral to the role, but kind of came second to that. Mm-hmm. Because they needed people that could talk about video games for an hour, 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. that's a lot of work, man.
It's a lot. And it's like you have to kind of be this jack of all trades in gaming and be able to converse about a lot of different types of video games and different aspects of the video game industry. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'd like to try. I'd done a little bit of on-camera work prior. And, you know, multiple auditions later and callbacks later, I found out I got the position. And this was with my co-host, Leo Camacho, who some of you might know. He's a very well-known gentleman in the cosplay and kind of Disney space. Mm-hmm. And we hosted the first iteration of Game Talk Live together for 100 and some odd episodes, and then decided that the show needed a shift and a change. Mm-hmm. And now it's more Zen style, where it's myself as host, and then we have three talking heads, and we talk about issues that are affecting gamers.
So. Yeah. What were the what was your initial goal when you first got on this? Because you mentioned like it kind of shifted halfway through.
Sure. I mean, my initial goal was to just get myself out there, get my face out there, and just meet a lot of new people and get more into kind of the industry and the community of being a gamer. I mean, obviously, I already live in the community of being a gamer, but it's like just putting myself out there more and getting people to know who I was and what Game Talk Live was about, and then coming to our Facebook chat and hanging out with us for an hour every day, you know, on their lunch break. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. You basically just want a good conversation about gaming, right? Because I see some of your shows and a lot of issues going on. It's basically like everywhere else in this world where it's like they're not accepting women as gamers and all that stuff. It's like, it's kind of disheartening, right? Just to talk about this kind of stuff.
It is, and it's why we have to talk about it. It's mm-hmm. why these conversations have to continue to happen. And, you know, some people, you know, are saying, I'm tired of hearing about this. This is getting exhausting. Well, try living it. Like, try, you know, have a feeling. Like, just last night, I was playing Overwatch, and I was playing a competitive game, and I got into voice comms because, as you should, to communicate with your team. Right. And immediately, the guys on my team were really just awful, annoying, very like offensive things mm-hmm. in the voice comms, and I knew immediately it was not a safe space for me to chat and bring up the fact that I was even a girl. And that is just tiresome.
It is.
And so I will be very glad when we have a day where we don't have to keep talking about it, where we don't have to keep bringing it up, when it's boring to talk about because it's a non-issue. And I think that's what we need to work toward.
Yeah, it's really discouraging because, like, I mean, you know, it obviously in sports we already deal with this, where it's like, oh, women can talk about men's sports or whatever, and stuff like that. And for you, women gamers, it's like, I understand, and I'm not being disrespectful or anything like that. Like, women don't have the athletic edge in sports, right? Like, they have their own thing, but in gaming. It's like we should be all in an even playing field, and they're still, the guys are still like, oh, no women allowed, basically, like play in the kitchen and stuff like that. It sucks, and I don't understand why men are like this. It's
a gatekeeping attitude. It's just it's a boys club, no girls allowed, and yet these same people are complaining, well, why can't I get a girlfriend that plays games? I was like, well, look at the community that you've built around, you know, gaming, and that this is why it's taken a long time for more women to enter the space. And they have been there, I'm just in smaller numbers, and now it's growing. It's become more of an even playing field, and we're seeing more even numbers between, you know, girls that game and guys that game. And Mm-hmm. But you know, there's still a lot of work to do from the development standpoint, and we need to get more women into dev roles. We need to get more women just in publisher roles. And then that in turn, I feel like, is kind of this domino effect where then it's women, more women creating the games, more, and just not even women, but more people of color, just more diversity in the game development space. That in turn creates the game, and then people are like, oh, there's a character that looks like me, or there's a character I can relate to in this game. And suddenly, it's just, like I said, it's an effect where now women feel like they can play games, and then they can feel like eventually, oh, I can compete in this game. Yeah. Now I can become an esports star. So it all starts with the actual people that make these games.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned esports, and did you ever think that esports would get this big? And in a way, kind of like the rise was pretty quick. It's like suddenly we're seeing them on TV.
I know, and it's been a long time coming, I feel like. There's been gaming tournaments since gaming was even a thing, you know, that you did with other people. But obviously not to the scale that we're seeing it today. I definitely feel like companies like Riot Games with League of Legends and Blizzard with the Overwatch League are really setting kind of new standards and expectations for what esports leagues need to be or should be and could be. Mm-hmm. And if we are going to branch outside of this gamer bubble, we have to kind of act like traditional sports in a sense, where we need to have it be like the spectacle and this event, and you know, the spectator modes need to be incredible so that people can understand what's happening and what's going on, and that it's this whole experiential thing of going to an arena and watching a sports match. I mean, when I tell people that aren't familiar with esports that I've gone to tailgate parties for esports events, mm-hmm. it blows their mind. Like, wait, what? I'm like, how is it any different from you parking your car in the parking lot at, say, you know, a baseball game, football game, and just doing your cookout and then going into the stadium to watch the match? It's the same thing. We're just watching a different type of sport.
Exactly. And do you think it has the potential to become even larger than sports in general? Because there are a lot of video games out there that you can compete in. You know, like Overwatch, you mentioned, even Street Fighter.
I mean, everything. Yeah, like the FGC community alone is just massive in the fighting game community, excuse me. Yes, I do. Now, I am not an expert in the traditional sports space, but in terms of all the bad press that's happening right now around football and all the injuries and things like that, I mean, video games, for the most part, are pretty safe. I mean, injuries we talk about are like carpal tunnel you know, just like psychological stress. Like, it's a safer space. We're seeing viewership numbers drop for a lot of traditional sports, obviously depending on what sport it is. Mm-hmm. But I think that esports are coming in and possibly either filling that void, or they're opening up this whole new market that people didn't realize even existed. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just an education, and we just have to kind of like permeate into the mainstream, if you will. So, you know, like ESPN showcasing games, or even TBS showed, had big tournaments on too. I think CBS it was that, or it was CBS or NBC that did a Rocket League tournament even on their network. And it's like, just if we keep exposing the general populace that like esports and like watching video games is a thing, the more accepting it will become, I think, to just a general broader audience.
You ever thought of competing yourself?
No, I am too old. my reaction times are just not fast enough. I mean, these players are getting recruited younger and younger and younger. I mean, literally with the Overwatch League specifically, I mean, they had recruited players that were 17 and they couldn't even be yet. Like, legally, they could not play yet. And just like two stages ago, they were finally able to play because they turned 18. You know, there's kids getting recruited straight out of high school. And then, you know, skipping college altogether and just playing pro for a few years, you know, and making good money.
Yeah, I read an article where I believe 2K players were getting paid more than the development league of the NBA. Like, that's
oh,
amazing. Like, I think like 75K or whatever per year or something like that.
That is amazing. Yeah. And I think the most fascinating piece too is how many traditional sports just stars and investors and team owners are getting into the esports space. Yeah. They're like, oh, this is a thing. Like, we should start looking toward that, kind of like rallying together and like making our org, you know, this huge thing. So
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I my friends who are part of the social media teams for, like, say, the Memphis Grizzlies or something like that, they're also covering esports as well. Mm-hmm. And there's this huge crossover going on, and it's fantastic. So
yeah, I'm really excited about it. Because, I mean, obviously, traditional sports have just, like, this legacy, this heritage, you know, of being around for years and established, you know, leagues and all this stuff. And they can really help, like, nurture these new esports leagues and bring that expertise over and help these, like, orgs, which are in essence very young and very green, kind of, like, mature and be like, no, you got to kind of, like, put on your big boy pants and, like, let's get to work. Because for the longest time, there were no rules.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, okay, we're going to compete, and maybe this guy gets paid this much, this person gets this much, or this person doesn't get paid at all. And it was like, there was no kind of, like, ethics. It was just kind of like, whatever, you know? And now it's starting to, like, okay, we can't, that's not a sustainable business. Like, we need, like, people need to be paid correctly, they need to be taken care of, you know, things like that, so.
I like to think that there's no age limit in esports, because, like, I feel like we were better gamers when we were, like, way younger, like, in sixth grade or something like that. Like, at least I felt I did, you know what I mean? Because I'm having a harder time beating these Nintendo games now that I was playing when I was a kid, like Ninja Gaiden or something like that. It's like, I beat this when I was, like, 12. How come I can't beat it now?
I know. Isn't getting old great? And, like, like, it's like your reaction times and just, like, your skills just kind of, like, atrophy, like, the older we get. Yeah. I don't think there's part of me that wishes I got into competitive gaming earlier. And then it's fine. I mean, things happen the way they happen. And, you know, I'm a firm believer of they happen for a reason. And I wasn't destined to be a pro gamer, but maybe I was destined to still be, you know, I'm still involved in some capacity. So that's what I'm contributing.
Right. Let's talk about you. What was the game that got you started in all this madness?
Oh, my God. In esports or
no,
gaming
in general?
Okay. So my favorite game of all time is Donkey Kong Country. Ooh. And I will tell you why. It's because it's the game that came with my Super Nintendo. It was like the bundle. And I remember the box specifically because it had all these banana leaves all over it. I got it from Sears when, like, Sears was still a thing. I'm pretty sure they're, like, out of business at this point. But gaming was not a big part when I was really young in my household. My parents were like, get outside and, like, do activities. And I did a lot of sports when I was younger. And so I had to get straight A's in my report card to even get the Super Nintendo. And then they wouldn't get me any games for it because they, like, didn't want to, like, encourage the hobby. So I would, like, save up my money to go to Blockbuster and spend, you know, like, $11 on a rental or whatever ridiculous amount it cost to rent a game at that point in time.
Right.
And then I would just play at friends' houses. So I would be, every time I go to a friend's house, if they had a game console, I was like, can we play video game? Like, can we play your N64? Or, you know, can we play Mario or whatever?
Yeah.
And then I like, so anyway, I didn't get another system until a PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, I had like all this like very historic, amazing video game, you know, releases that had happened between like Super Nintendo and PS2. But then I got a PS2, and the first game I bought was Final Fantasy X. Mm-hmm. And that game kind of, like, I feel like was the, like, I don't know what you want to call it, the thing that kind of started everything for me, because I was like, what the hell are JRPGs? What is, like, J-pop? What is anime?
Right.
And then from there, it just, like, snowballed. And then I started going to cons, and I got really into anime and, like, J-pop and J-rock, and I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, my parents wouldn't let me play video games on weekdays when I was in high school.
Yeah, that sounds very similar.
because exactly. Like, oh, we don't want to encourage this hobby. Like, why would you want to play this? Whatever. Yeah. And I'm just like, you guys play cards every night.
You guys sit on the couch and watch TV or, like, whatever it is.
Yeah, what am I going to do, you know? So.
Hey guys, it's Pamela Horton, Miss October 2012, and you're listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast.
Yeah, wow, you missed out a lot.
I played a lot of catch-up. I mean, and now I'm predominantly a PC gamer, so it's really funny that I was, like, very much, like, trying to catch up on console gaming, and now I'm just, like, PC for life, but...
Do you still play JRPGs? Because I still do. That's, like...
I don't. It's so funny. I kind of fell out of, like, the anime space and, like, the JRPG space and got really hardcore just into competitive shooters.
Right.
Or just competitive gaming in general. Mm-hmm. Like, through college, I was playing a lot of Left 4 Dead. And like Day of Defeat, which is a game that a lot of people don't know, but it was like on Steam. It's like this, you know, World War II shooter. It was like whatever I was playing with, the people I was in college with, was like what we would play. And then I fell into like, I don't know, a lot of Mass Effect, Dragon Age, BioWare RPGs. Like I fell into like, I guess, Western RPGs. Mm-hmm. And then, oh God. And then League of Legends came around. And then I got, that was like the trigger for esports, was like, okay, right. Here's the Legends. I'm okay. There's like this whole esport around it. I'm going to start watching the LCS. Got really into that. And then Overwatch. And now I'm predominantly an Overwatch player. So.
Yeah. Here's the thing with me, because I remember off the record, we were talking like, well, I'm not that much into FPSs because I'm terrible at them. And I'm playing catch up. Like my friend's really trying to get me into FPSs. So we're playing Halo 1 right now.
Oh my God, that's amazing, though.
Yeah, because we just beat Perfect Dark, which looked really awful now. Because yes. It's Nintendo 64, like anywhere around that generation looks terrible now with those polygonish stuff.
It's kind of incredible to go back and just like look at like PlayStation 1 games even, you know, and N64 games. Like, wow, this was like the pinnacle of graphics.
Yeah, I look at Final Fantasy 7 and 8 now, I'm just like, oh my God, they look awful.
But like, and you remember like the Final Fantasy 8 cutscenes were like amazing. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah exactly. And now I'm just like, ugh, we like this? You know, that sort of thing.
I know.
So, yeah.
We're snobs and, now.
Yeah. Like, my friend and I, we have game nights, like, once or twice a week or whatever, and we play old games, so that's how I'm catching up with the FPSs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm still playing, I'm going through the Tales series right now in the JRPGs, so.
Wow. Yeah,
and I intend to get into Dragon Quest XI when it comes out, so. I don't know why I play those, because they take so long. They're practically, like, a full-time mm-hmm. job. But I don't know. Like, I just keep playing those games.
JRPGs are a very special breed.
Yeah.
And they're pretty consistent. They don't change very much between iteration.
Yeah.
For the most part. Depending on what series. I mean, I don't know what's happened to Final Fantasy, but that I don't even recognize that franchise anymore. And no, it's no shame. I appreciate them trying to innovate and do different things. But for the most part, I mean, they stay pretty consistent. I mean, I don't know. I think of something like Monster Hunter that's been pretty much the same title for forever.
Final Fantasy 15 is so bro-y. Like, it's super bro-y. That's what it is. Like,
what do you expect for, like, what is it, 5 guys on a road trip?
Yeah, that's what it is.
With their cup noodles and Assassin's Creed DLC and Gordon Freeman Half-Life DLC. I don't know what's happening over there.
Yeah, they're the only ones with character death. Everything else is just like, okay, why is he here for? Why is she here for? Like, you don't know their motivations and storylines except for the 4 guys. That's it. Okay. Great job, I guess. We talked about this off the record, too. I was like, well, this is an excuse for me to talk about Britney Spears' Dance Beat and sync it to the show.
That's fine.
Yeah?
I am 100% into talking about... Man, I can't... Okay, I was so sad that I missed that NSYNC pop-up shop that happened, and that I wanted to go to, like, their Walk of Fame, you know, star reveal or whatever, but alas, I had to work. It's fine. I'm not salty about that at all. But yes, before getting my PS2, NSYNC was a very important part of my life, and that's what I dedicated all my free time and money and allowance to, was just buying NSYNC garbage that I did not need. And I had NSYNC get to the show on Game Boy Advance.
Isn't that game terrible?
It was awful. I was expecting so much more from it. It was not good. I also had the board game.
Oh, well, I didn't
play
that
one. It was like an NSYNC board game. I think it was like a very similar concept. It was like, you know, get them to the concert type thing. Anyway, do not recommend.
Yeah. Are we talking about games or NSYNC? I have no idea anymore. Like,
I don't know anymore, but both. Why not?
Yeah,
why not?
Both.
But I want to ask you,
okay,
you're getting into, you're trying to catch up on some shooters. Are you playing on console or are you playing on PC?
Console.
See, there's your problem. Well, no, it's not bad. It's just, I mean, that's predominantly why I changed over to PC, was that I could not play shooters for beans on a console. Like, something about the controlling both the camera and your aiming with the joysticks is very disorienting for me. And mostly, me playing Halo was being stuck in a corner, turning around in circles, looking down at the floor, because I couldn't get my thumbs to talk to one another and work with each other. So, I always recommend to people that you should try on a PC if you're going to play a shooter. You can get much more precise movement.
I've never been much of a PC gamer. Like, when I played PC games, they're mostly, like, pointing something. So, maybe at some point I will. It's not like I'm close to it. But, you know, yeah, as soon as I get to, like, what's Halo 1, like 2001 or something like that?
Is it? I feel like it is that far back.
God, that was when NSYNC was popping, right?
Oh my God. I remember, can look at like how far, God, it's just amazing to think like Halo and like the Xbox were like the shit back then.
Exactly.
Like that was like the jam, was you got your Xbox, you had Halo, and that's what people played. And now, poor little Xbox. Xbox needs some help, needs some nurturing. Xbox One and Halo needs some nurturing too. It's been dethroned, if you will.
A friend just mentioned that she wanted a PS4, and I'm like, man, I'm still stuck at PS1 of Parappa the Rapper.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I was so sad. They did a Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. One of the creators of Parappa did a Kickstarter mm-hmm. for a game called, I think Rap Rabbit was the name of the title, and I don't believe it got funded, and I was really sad about that because I wanted to see another project from him. But
man. Although I didn't Parappa Part 2. I think it was on PS2 or something. I never did play that. But Parappa was charming in its own way.
It was very charming.
Yeah. I still want that dog beanie. Parappa dog beanie.
Did you see that they did a pop-up shop for Parappa?
What was this? Oh, in
Japan. It was a cafe. Mm-hmm. It's like a Parappa cafe, and they had all this different merchandise and stuff, too. It was pretty incredible. But only in Japan. I don't think that would ever fly here. It's just, the fan base is just too small.
any other guilty pleasure games that you want to reveal to me?
Oh, guilty pleasure games?
Yeah, or are they not? Just pleasure by itself, not guilty at all. I don't know.
Oh, because
I mentioned Britney Spears Dance Beat, which I think is a very good game. It is. Why are you? What are you laughing at? It's a game.
That's fine. You like what you like. True. I don't know about like guilty pleasure. Let's see. Well, I really like. Oh my God. Oh. I don't even know how to answer this question.
I mean, I guess because you like it by itself, it's like not ashamed to like say, "Oh, I love this game." Like, I love Michael Jackson's Moonwalker or something, which I love too, by the way.
Do you like Space Channel 5?
I do love Space Channel 5. Yeah. I have both games, the 1 and 2.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't think like the pleasure, but I really love this game called Snipper Clips. For the Switch,
mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm not guilty at all about it. It's a great game. It's a great co-op game, and you basically are pieces of paper, and you play with another person, and you have to like cut each other into like certain shapes to complete puzzles and objectives. Oh. And it's just like those games. That's like, I mean, it's not brainless. Like you do have to think about like solving the puzzles, but it's like there's no competing. Mm-hmm. Like the win condition is that you do the puzzle.
Right.
And, like, that's it, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It's just a really, like, nice kind of relaxing kind of zone-out game.
Mm-hmm.
The same way, like, Animal Crossing is for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or Shantae. Do you know this game, Shantae?
No. What is it?
Shantae. It's called Shantae Half Genie Hero. It's a Kickstarter game based off an old, I believe, Game Boy Advance or Game Boy game. I don't know. Something like that. Long, old game. And they redid it former. And mm-hmm. Art's incredible. It's super fun. Very cute, or it's like very cute genie character, and you get different animal forms and collect items, and you guys should totally get it if you're listening to this podcast, you're looking for a fun platformer, highly recommend it. It's very inexpensive, and I believe they're bringing it to Switch, so pretty much available on all consoles at this point.
Okay. I wish I got my sister's Sega CD, because she bought those god-awful Make Your Own Music video games. Like,
oh my God, why don't I know what that is?
Okay, I don't know, but it had like Criss Cross and CNC Music Factory and Marky Mark, and it's like, what the hell?
What?
Like, yeah. Like, make your own music video or something. I don't know whether you have to like, get
like RPG Maker, but like Music Video Maker?
Something like that, I guess. And it's for the Sega CD, so I don't know how bad it can be.
Oh,
it's probably
going to
be pretty bad, too, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane? Like, now that type of game could not really even exist, I feel like, because you can just learn how to edit on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. I also have Spice World for PS1. Yeah. You mix your own song and it's awful. and at the end you get like basically a Q&A from the Spice Girls. It's like, oh, where do you want to perform?
What?
Yeah, that was the ending. If that was like the game, basically, like that's all you do: mix a song and then you get to see the Q&A from the Spice Girls, and that's it.
Do you still have all these games?
I do have the Spice World games.
I feel like you will have a very robust collection of like late 90s, early 2000s, pop games.
I never sold my games. I keep them.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
I have all of it. I'll show it to you off the record, but yeah.
On the record.
Fine, I'll put pictures up on the post of my game collection. It's a lot. But it's not just my friend Nick, though. He has, like, 1,000 games, probably, including 3DO, which is amazing.
Wow. Yeah. The only games I still have are, I collected PS1 RPGs. Mm-hmm. And those, I've kept all those because it took a very long time. I'm missing still a few, but I have most of them. Every RPG ever made for PS1. And, It was a very fun adventure to try to collect them and, you know, go to every GameStop I could possibly find in Southern California and be like, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? And pay out the wazoo for it. But it was a good time.
Yeah. I just went to, a few months ago, I went to a convention called Retro City Festival, I think, in Pomona. And I bought Xenogears because I never owned it. I never owned it until then. Yeah. $35.
How much did you have to pay?
$35.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all, actually. It was way less than I expected, because it's Xenogears. So.
Right.
Yeah, and I also got Parasite Eve 2 for like...
Parasite Eve's are great, yeah.
For $25. So, yeah. That's what I do. I collect games for the know, because everyone knows me as like this NBA writing nerd or whatever. Like, they don't know how many games I collect sometimes. It's ridiculous, so.
Now, you know, as someone that, you know, talks about NBA a lot, are you an avid, like, video game player of, like, basketball games?
My friends and I play 2K a year, like co-op. Me and my friends.
Oh, okay.
That's part of game night. We play 2K. So we've played every 2K game in existence from the beginning, which is insane. Wow. Like, we've been friends for that long.
Wow. Yeah.
And we're on.
That's awesome.
And we're on 2K18. So, like, we've known each other for like 19 years now.
That's incredible. And I know they're doing a huge esports league right now.
Yeah. Like I mentioned, like, those guys are getting paid a lot of money.
More than
the developmental league players in the NBA. So it's ridiculous.
It's just about eyeballs. It's like, what are people watching? And what are people tuning into? And I'm seeing a lot now of, like, younger audiences tuning in to stuff, and like, how do they tap into that? Like, I'm seeing, like, at least, like, the most successful, like, streamers and YouTubers, their audience is very young.
Yeah.
And so how can they appeal to that younger audience and get those eyeballs? Because, you know, these younger kids or young adults are paying for cable. They're watching things on Twitch. They're watching things on YouTube. So how do they tap into that? And I think esports leagues are a great way to do so.
Right. Yeah, it's insane how I feel like it's really exponentially grown over the last couple of years or so. Like,
it most definitely has.
So, all right. So I think that's it. So go ahead and publicize your show, social media, whatever else you need to publicize. Go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Ray, for having me on the show. This was a blast. Mm-hmm. Let's see. You can find Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific to Facebook.com/GameTalkLive. We are a video game debate and discussion show. We talk about anything and everything affecting gamers and the world of gaming and esports, I should say. And then you can catch me everywhere, every day, on social media at Geeky Glamorous is my handle on everything. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, whatever. And thanks again.
Parappa the Rapper for life.
Game over, yeah!
Hashtag blame Ray Ray.